Our theme this year across the East Gateway Hub is Go. Aside from just focusing on evangelism, our preaching will also cover other Go and topics. So things like Go and love, Go and serve, Go and pray, Go and witness. It's a flexible theme that really helps bring home the importance that we actually go, that we actually get up and that we do. There are many in this world who expect others to do things for them. There are many in this world who perhaps seem entitled, but God calls us to go. He calls us to get outside our comfort zones and to actually be the people that he's called us to be, his disciples. And this morning, I want us to remember the great task that Jesus has given to us, the task that he has entrusted to all of his followers. Sometimes I think in Christian circles, what we're going to look at is referred to as the Great Suggestion, but it is the Great Commission. Go and make disciples, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Have you ever been given an important task to do? Yeah? Was the task that you were given so meaningful that you knew it could change everything? Could change. There are those things that we have to do in life. There are those things that we're encouraged to do. There are those times in our lives when we step outside of our experience and skills. There are those times when we have to rely on God in everything. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples, they were dependent upon him, dependent upon the strength of the Holy Spirit. The words that we read here in Matthew 28, they're not just a suggestion or a guideline, they are a command. A command from Jesus to his followers, therefore a command from Jesus to us. The command is the heartbeat of Christianity, the call to go. But it's not just about going, it's also about what we do when we go. I want us to explore three headings. Go and make disciples, go and baptize, go and teach obedience. All of these are drawn from this command of our Lord. Jesus begins with, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. The word that's translated here as go is better translated as you are going. It's a direct command. It's Jesus telling the disciples and telling us that this is what we are going to do. It implies that making disciples is not just confined to a single event, to a specific mission trip, but it's something that's ongoing. It's something that's meant to be part of our lives. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we are called to make disciples. So when you go shopping in Aldi or Marks and Spencer's, you're meant to be looking for opportunities to share the truth of who God is. In our own homes, with our family members who as yet do not know Jesus, we're meant to be sharing the truth with them. I wonder how long you've lived next door to your neighbour. How long they've been in the proximity of where you are, yet you've never shared the truth of the gospel with them. I know it's difficult to share the gospel. I know that there are things that get in the way, but the biggest barrier to a share in the gospel is ourselves. We worry about what we might say, we worry that we might stumble over our words, we worry that, oh, perhaps the person is really intelligent and will tie me up in some argument of logic that I can't break out of. But when Jesus calls us to go, he gives us the power to go. When we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, we can make disciples because God will give us the words, he'll give us the opportunities, and we can lead people into a life-changing relationship just by sharing the truth of who Jesus is. And we're not creating followers for ourselves, we're not creating followers for our denomination. We are working to make sure that the lost are found, that sinners are set free from the burden of their sin, that salvation can come to all because Christ died for all who will believe. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus lays out the scope of our mission here. Jerusalem, that means start where you are. Start with your family. Start with your friends. Those around you. Perhaps the people who know you the most. That's where we start. And Judea and Samaria, well, that's going beyond our comfort zone. That's reaching out to people who may be different from us. The ends of the earth, the gospel is for everyone, everywhere. Everyone needs to hear the truth. And God is calling us to tell people about him. The word that's translated as witnesses here means someone who testifies to the truth, even when that truth comes at great personal cost. In many ways, this reminds us that the gospel may not always be easy, but it's always worth it. People who do not know Christ are heading to a lost eternity. People who do not know Christ are denying God and choosing to spend eternity away from him. Jesus himself spoke about the danger of hell far more than he spoke about the truth of heaven. He knew there was a problem. He knew that people needed to be set free. He knew that people needed to understand what it was that he had come to save them from. Yet the world today thinks there's no real good, there's no real bad, there's just grey areas that take place. The truth is subjective. That's what the world will tell you. But God's word is true. God's word is truth. It's a living word, and it's a word that transforms and changes us. So it might not be easy to share the gospel, but we must share the truth. I wonder, who is it that you would identify as your Jerusalem? Who is it nearest to you that needs to hear the truth of the gospel? And how can you be intentional in actually sharing truth with that person or people? Maybe it's someone at your workplace. Maybe it's someone in your neighbourhood. Maybe it's someone in your own family. Who is it that you need to shine a light to that they can discover Jesus for themselves? If you think about a lighthouse for a moment, a lighthouse does not go anywhere, but the light that comes from the lighthouse reaches far and wide, and ships are guided safely to shore. As we shine the light of the gospel into people's lives, people will be drawn to Christ when they discover who he is and what he has done for them. It was Charles Spurgeon who said these poignant words, "Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter." There are many, sadly, who do not speak the truth of Christ through fear, through worry. But we are called to speak the truth. I wonder this morning, how would you identify yourself? Are you a missionary or are you an imposter? Do the people around you, the people that you meet, know that Christ is important to you? Do they see a difference in your life? Do they hear a difference in your words? Is your attitude one of a person who has been set free and has God exactly at the centre of their lives? Or are you an imposter? Are you just religious? Jesus himself spoke about the broad and the narrow way. The narrow way, it's difficult. It's hard. It's costly to walk on the narrow way. And sadly, there are many in this world today who are religious, but they're walking on the broad path. They're doing their own thing. They're living their own way. And they are ignoring God for the majority of their days. And yet they're religious. Lloyd did a short Bible study for part of the leadership team earlier in the week, and we were looking at this passage of the broad and the narrow way. And Jesus goes on to say that there will be those who say to me, Lord, Lord, and I will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And our biggest fear, our biggest worry, is that there are those in churches around this world that don't actually know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, that aren't fully repentant, that haven't actually turned from their sin and walked on the narrow way. They're still on the broad way to destruction. Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. May we truly be the Lord's in everything that we do. Second point, go and baptize. Jesus continues, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptism, it's an outward declaration of an inward transformation. It symbolizes a believer's identification with Christ in Christ's death and burial and resurrection. Romans 6:4 says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. The Greek word for baptism means to immerse. It signifies a complete identification with Christ. It's not just a superficial change, it's a total surrender to Christ. If you've been baptized, remember what it represents. Remember that you are in Christ. You are His. Sadly, over the years, I've met people who have been baptized and then chosen to walk away from God. Far too many people who seem to be going on and walking with the Lord and being on fire for Christ. It's almost as if the baptism just drowned anything of Christ in their lives. What was meant to be an outward expression of what had happened, the change that had took place, just drifted away. If God is at the centre of our lives, if we truly love Him, if we are truly thankful for what He has done for us, we must be obedient to the commands that He's given us. We must live in a way that honours Him and that glorifies Him. Because we're meant to have a new life in Christ. We're meant to be born again. The old has gone, the new has come. And the baptism is just something that signifies to others around us that we are willing to say, I've been saved. Not because of what I have done, but because of what He's done. Baptism is meant to signify a statement that says to the world, I belong to Jesus. Yet, sadly, there are, as Charles Spurgeon said, those who, even if they're baptized, could still be imposters. You're either in Christ or you're not. Have you made the statement that you belong to Jesus? Have you told your family, your friends, the world around you that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior? That you've been freed from the burden, from the penalty of your sin? That you've been set free? When we trust in Jesus, when we follow His commands, we're given the gift of eternal life. We will spend eternity in the presence of our Lord and our Saviour. Third point, go and teach obedience. Ooh, obedience. That's not something we like to talk about in the 21st century, is it? Actually obeying what God has said? The world wants to rule itself. Our hearts rebel against God. The thought that there could be someone who knows better than we do, oh, the modern man and woman doesn't like that. But Jesus clearly says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. See, discipleship doesn't stop at conversion. Discipleship is a lifelong journey of learning and growing and obeying what God has said. If God tells us to do something, friends, we are meant to do it. If God says something is right, we're meant to accept what He says as right is right. And if God says that something is wrong and that we should have no part of it in our lives, we have to be obedient to Him. And as disciples of the Lord, we're meant to teach others, to help them understand, to help them apply God's word for themselves. I know Christians who cherry pick which parts of the Bible they will read. There are verses and books in the Word of God that they will completely ignore because they do not want to accept what God has stated is truth. I know people who will argue that that was for then and the world has moved on. The world, in real terms, is no different today than when God first created it. Man and woman live in rebellion. Man and woman want to do their own things. And Satan is still trying to distract us and drag us away from the Lord. Friends, we need to stand on the truth that, as 2 Timothy says, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. The phrase inspired by God, it means God breathed. Scripture is not just human words about God. It's God's word to us about him. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God guided the penmanship of the writers. It's his word. It's important. We are meant to live by the truth of God's word. How can we live by God's word? We need to read it. We need to learn it. We need to understand it. We need to apply it to our lives. And we need to intentionally help others to do the same. Friends, for us to be true disciples, we must be truly intentional about what we do. Intentional about where we go. Intentional about what we prioritize in our lives. Over the years, I've met many people who've said to me, "Oh, God knows what my heart is." The problem of the human heart is that we actually deceive ourselves about what's going on in it. None of us are as sold out for God as we should be. None of us walk consistently as we should. Christ must be at the centre of all we do. Christ must be at the centre of all we say. And yes, we will offend people. And yes, we will upset people. And we may lose some friendships as we stand firm for the truth of God. But we can't deny who God is. And sadly, there are many in the 21st century that want to deny God, to say he's irrelevant. But friends, we need God in our lives, and the world needs God in their lives too. Are you committed in sharing the truth with others? Are you helping others to learn that they may share too? Think about a coach training an athlete. The goal is not just to teach the rules of the game, but to develop the skills, the discipline that's needed for success. Each of us need to be willing to learn. Each of us need to be willing to be developed. Each of us need to encourage one another to walk with Christ, to obey his word, to model our lives on his. It was Rick Warren who said, "Spiritual maturity is for the glory of God and for the building of his kingdom." And friends, that's what we're about. We're about building kingdom, ensuring that names are added to the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I know that we cannot save anyone. It's purely a work of grace, a work of mercy from God. But God calls us to tell others, to call them to repentance, to help them know for themselves who Jesus is. If they choose to reject him, that's their choice. But we should never choose to not tell others about him. In conclusion, there is a promise to sustain us. Jesus ends the Great Commission with a powerful promise. "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Greek phrase that's translated here is always. It means all the days. That includes good days and bad days. Jesus is with us in good times and bad. When the storms come, when the ice comes, when the snow falls, or when the sun is shining, Jesus is with us. Hebrews 13:5, it's a beautiful verse. "For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you." In the darkest of our nights, in those times when we are troubled, in those times when it feels like the world is pressing us down, we're not on our own. No matter where we go, no matter where God calls us to go, we are not alone. His presence is with us. He is our strength. He is our comfort. He is the one who enables us to push forward for his honor and for his glory. As I conclude, my question for you is simply this. How will you respond to Jesus' command to go? Because his command is to each and every one of us. Every one of us. So when he says to you, go, what will you do? Will you share the gospel with someone who needs to hear it? Will you encourage a new believer to take the step of baptism? Will you commit to helping others grow in their faith? Will you commit to simply finding one person tomorrow that you can tell who Jesus is? Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as Lord. Maybe he's not the center of your life. Today is the day to actually step into a relationship with him. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And friends, that's the message that we need to share with the world. That's the message we need to share with those that we love. That's the message that we need to share with those that we would consider our enemies. Because everyone needs the opportunity for salvation, the opportunity to invite Jesus into their lives, to repent, to turn. The only way eternal life can come is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one goes to the Father except through him. There's no other mediator, there's no other way of salvation other than accepting Jesus Christ as Lord. That may seem, with the amount of religions that exist, many ways, but there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. The narrow way leads to eternal life. The broad way leads to hell. God is calling us, friends, to go and share his love, to go and rescue those that are at risk. We're like firefighters being sent into a burning building. No firefighter would ever worry that he might offend the people that are at danger of being burnt alive, to tell them, there's a fire, you need to come out. We should never be ashamed of sharing the truth of the gospel. We should never be ashamed of declaring openly that Jesus Christ is Lord. Today, be willing to stand, be willing to go, and be willing to tell others who Jesus is. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you that it's a living word, and it's a word that changes lives. That people are transformed when they come to discover who you are and know you as Lord and Saviour. And I pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us to continue walking on that narrow way, but that we would call others, we would disciple others, that they may walk in your truth too. Help us to stand firm for the truth that we believe. Help us to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Help us, Lord, even this week, to share who you are with the world around us. And whether it's family, friends, or just acquaintances, I ask, Lord, that you will provide us with those opportunities that we may share who you are and that others may repent and turn to you. Use us, Lord, I pray. Use us in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities. And help us to grow in our faith and trust for you. Help us to truly be your disciples. And help us to be obedient to the commands that you have given to us. Help us to go, Lord. We can't do it in our own strength. And we trust you, Lord, that you will be with us and not leave us or abandon us. Bless you, Lord, for what you're doing in the individual lives of those here, in the lives of our families, our congregations, and wherever your word is faithfully preached. We praise you, dear Lord, and give you the honor and the glory you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.